Amen. Nothing speaks louder of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ than the cross of Calvary, does it? Amen. Thank you so much for that. 1 Corinthians 16, Psalm 127. Let me read our theme verse for the year. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Hope you got a bulletin. The outline of the message is there on the back. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, verse number 10. The Bible says, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. And all of us, at some point in our Christian lives, and really probably on a daily basis or at least a weekly basis, we need to be constantly sharpened, constantly brought to the grindstone of the Word of God and be sharpened in our spiritual lives. And so for the past couple of Sunday nights, we have been looking at this matter of sharpening our homes, but more specifically, sharpening the young men in our homes. And by young men, you may have little young men, you may have little boys, you may have some teenage guys in your home, you may have some young adults in your home, it doesn't matter. And by the way, every single one of us, whatever age we are as men, we need to be constantly sharpened. And we've been speaking about this matter of training biblical knights. And we ask the question, is chivalry dead? Is it dead in the year 2021 in America? Chivalry, we gave a definition, are the qualities idealized by knighthood, such as bravery, courtesy, honor, and gallantry toward women. And really what we're speaking of biblical manhood. That's what we're speaking about. We're speaking about training biblical men. Young men who are going to grow up and who are going to be biblical as they live their lives. We began in 1 Corinthians 16. This has been our starting verse every service or the past couple Sunday nights as we've been looking at this thought of training biblical knights. The Bible says in verse number 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And by the way, we've said it every time, and I'm not trying to be repetitious or overbearing, but that word quit there does not mean to quit. It doesn't mean to quit being a man. It means to show yourself a man. Let everybody do the things necessary for people to know that you're a man. And by the way, he's speaking to the church at Corinth, he is speaking to New Testament men, New Testament Christian men, and he says, watch ye. Well, we got to be on watch, don't we? Because I'm going to tell you what, that old devil, he never quits, does he? Boy, you think you've got all the guards up, and you think you've got all the gates shut, and boy, that old snake just slithers in, doesn't he? He says, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now, I had you turn to Psalm 127 as well. Let's stand and let me read a couple verses here. That way we can allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church. Psalm 127, we're not preaching out of this, but I just want to see this because I want to show us something this morning as we continue on. And we're going to try to finish this thought today about training biblical knights. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And verse 5 is what I want us to see. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. And here's what we need, and here's what we're speaking about, and here's the goal when we think about training biblical knights. It says, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know what our desire ought to be and our goal is to raise some young men who will meet the enemy at the gate and will not let him in. Listen, one of these days I'm going to be gone. One of these days Brother Jackie's going to be gone. One of these days Brother Mac's going to be gone. One of these days our deacons are going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. Somebody's going to have to step in. Somebody's going to have to take the place. Maybe it'll be one of these young men sitting right here or standing right here on this front row. Maybe it'll be a young man somewhere else that God is preparing and training for at this very moment. But someone's going to have to step in and stand at the gate and say, hey, for 70 plus years or how many ever at that time, maybe 100 years, this church has stood for the truth of God's Word. The enemy's not going to come in. That's the goal. That's what we're speaking about here. And by the way, the same thing for your home. You're raising children that one day when they have their own home, they're going to stand at the gate and say, enemy, devil, you're not coming in here. My mama and daddy taught me different. My mama and daddy taught me what the Word of God says. My mama and daddy taught me who my friends are. My mama and daddy taught me what truth is. And my mama and daddy taught me what the devil and what the world and what the flesh are. And none of y'all are getting in this house. I don't stand here today, look, none of us are perfect on that. We fail. But I'm going to tell you what, we need to be sharpened. And we need to be in the business of training biblical knights. Father, help us today. Teach us, remind us of some things that we've already studied, and teach us even some more today regarding this matter. Father, we need a generation. Father, my generation needs this just as much as anybody else. Father, the generation that we're training right now as well needs this tremendously. Father, we need young men who are going to stand in the gate, who are going to stand in the gap, as Ezekiel 22 says. Father, we need young men who are going to meet the enemy with their swords drawn and ready to fight this spiritual battle that we fight on a daily basis. It's not flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's who we battle on a daily basis. And boy, if our swords are dull, we're going to have a hard time battling. If our soldiers aren't strengthened and sharpened themselves, they're going to have a hard time battling. So just teach us again today, Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Let me go real quickly, and it's in your bulletin. It's in your notes there. But we've already looked at our first three thoughts. And Lord willing, we're going to look at number four and five this morning. But we're looking at five characteristics of a biblical knight. And again, this isn't all encompassing by any means. We could add more and more and more to this. But we're looking at five characteristics, if you will, of a biblical knight. We look, first of all, at the will of a biblical knight. And we said that a young man, we've given a statement with each one of these points, a young man must be trained to submit to the preeminent. The will of a biblical knight. Our young men need to be trained to submit to God Almighty, to submit to the preeminent, to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, to submit to His Word, to submit to anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, the will of a biblical knight. Number two, last Sunday night, we looked at the work of a biblical knight. And we said that a young man must be trained to sweat for his provision. A young man must be trained to sweat for his provision. Our young men need to work. Amen? Amen. They need to be taught how to work. They need to be taught how important it is to work. That's how we make a living, is by work, the work of a biblical knight. A young man must be trained to sweat for his provision. By the way, I'm not going to spend much time here. We spent plenty of time last Sunday night. But we had a speech Wednesday night that went, for the most part, in absolute opposition to number two. We're not encouraging the people in our nation to work anymore. We're encouraging them to sit at home and do nothing and still gain a paycheck. That's not how God intended for it to be. God intended for men to work. The work of a biblical knight. Number three, the words of a biblical knight. the words of a biblical night. And I mentioned this last Sunday, and I'm going to mention it again. Maybe I do need to stay here for just a moment. We all, every single one of us, but especially our young men and our young ladies, we need to get it in our mind and understand nobody owes me anything. Nobody owes me anything. Listen, this nation does not owe me a free college education. And for parents who worked two and three jobs to pay for a college education, who are now on board with this idea of just giving a college education away, that blows my mind. How have you come to that point? Nobody owes me anything. God made us to sweat for our provision. Number three, the words of a biblical night. A young man must be trained to speak with purity. To speak with purity. Let me just read Ephesians 4:29, and then we'll move on to number four this morning. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So it's a great question for all of us to ask, is what comes out of my mouth, is it ministering grace to those that hear it? Is it edifying to those that hear it? Is it ministering grace to the hearers, the words of a biblical night? Hey, young men, you're not something great because you can use four-letter words. You're not some great man because you can just roll off of your tongue a catalog, a litany of four-letter profanities. The words of a biblical night. A young man must be trained to speak with purity. And then number four this morning, we want to see the walk of a biblical night. The walk of a biblical night. A young man must be trained to step on the path. And by the way, the path of righteousness. A young man must be trained to step on that path. And by the way, to stay on that path. To every day, step by step by step by step, we're staying on that path, the path of righteousness. Let me, if you would, take your Bibles and go to the book of Joel. Would you do that real quickly? Joel chapter number 2. You're turning to the book of Joel. I'm going to read a verse in Ephesians. You say, Joel, man, we don't go there much. It's right after Hosea. That's where we've been on Wednesday nights. So if you find Hosea, Joel is the very next book. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord..." By the way, that's what the choir just sang about. Amen. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Whatever that vocation, but for all of us this morning, that vocation is being a Christian. That vocation is living like the Lord Jesus Christ. The walk of a biblical night. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded." Isn't that what we ought to desire for our young men? The Bible says that they should be able to scale the wall. The Bible says that they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Look, when it comes to the Word of God, we ought to be training young men who will never break rank with the Word of God. Ever. Whatever the area is, whether it's growing up and being a good husband, growing up and being a good father, growing up and just being a good Christian man, being a good citizen, being a good employee, that they never break ranks with the Word of God. "Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path." A walk of a biblical night. A young man must be trained to step on the path. And by the way, let me say this. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Will you go there quickly? And if you can't, that's okay. We're going to go to a number of passages. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. A young man must be trained to step on the path. Let me say this as we begin here. He needs to be trained to step on the path and to stay on the path from the very beginning. From the very beginning. You're turning to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let me read a couple verses in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Listen to verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. He said, God, you have taught me from my youth what to be, how to be, who to be. And he said, and from that moment I have declared thy righteous works. Or excuse me, thy wondrous works. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I know, look, Ecclesiastes 12, 1 is hard to get young people to understand. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young people don't understand the way some of us who have gotten a little bit older understand. God tells young people to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Why? Because they're young, because they have youth, because they have energy, because they have vitality. God says, look, serve me in your youth, because there's going to come a day when your days are not going to be pleasurable. And we don't have time to read that whole chapter, but the whole chapter, it talks about when our eyes dim. It talks about when the grinders, the teeth, don't work the way they used to. It talks about the limbs, specifically our legs, when they aren't as strong as they used to be. Young people, listen. And parents, we have to help them with this. I know ultimately it's their decision, but young people, listen. Right now is the time for you to serve God. It's not when you get 30 years old or 40 or when I get a little maturity to me. Maturity is not an age, by the way. Maturity is just simply listening to the Word of God and allowing the wisdom of the Word of God to saturate our lives. And young people, right now, when you're these young men's age, whether it's 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 17, right now, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Right now is the time to get on the path. Right now is the time to make a decision. I'm going to stay on that path, because we've said it and we'll continue to say it. This world has nothing to offer us. Nothing. And we get so enamored with this world. And sometimes young men start well on the path. And then somewhere down the path a little bit, their eyes start to see all of the shiny things of the world, and they begin to detour a little bit. I'm thankful that there's always an opportunity to U-turn, amen? Even when we get detoured and get off, there's always the exit ramp to get back on, the on-ramp to get back on the right path. I'm thankful for that. But let's just don't ever get off the path. Just stay on the path. Don't ever let the world, the flesh, and the devil pull you off in a wrong direction and make you do something that God doesn't want you to do. A young man must be trained to step on the path. Let me give you three things real quickly here, and then we'll move on to number five. First of all, his steps should be humble. What kind of steps should they be? They should be humble. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Speaking of the humility of Christ, his steps should be humble, not proud. Listen, young men, be men of humility. We have enough proud men in our country right now. Let's just be men of humility. His steps should be humility. His steps should be holy. Would you take your Bible, if you're taking notes, write down 1 Peter chapter 1. Would you do that? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And then would you go to the book of Proverbs? Would you go there with me? Proverbs chapter number 1. His steps should be humble. His steps should be holy. Write down 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. The Bible says there that if He which hath called us is holy, then we ought to be holy. God Almighty is holy, so we ought to be holy. Proverbs chapter number 1, that word holy just means separated. It means separate from this world. Proverbs chapter number 1, let's begin in verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, what's the next word? Consent thou not. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Son, Solomon is telling his son, look, son, if sinners entice thee, consent that, hey, don't go. Don't go, say no. You remember back, and some of you may remember, back when I was a young person, a child, a teenager, they had the Just Say No initiative regarding drugs. Just say no. Someone wants you to do drugs with them, or someone offers you some kind of drugs, just say no. By the way, the word no would be a great word for many Christians to learn. No! 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 I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to watch that, because I have many better yeses that I can do. No! My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Say no, don't go. Refrain thy foot from their path. Be a holy path. Look at chapter 2. Proverbs chapter number 2, verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You see all the ifs? If you'll do that, then what does he say in verse 5? Then, and I think I mention this every time we're in this passage, but you remember in math, you remember the if then? It's right here. He says, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, if you'll search the Word of God as silver, if you'll incline your heart to know understanding and to have wisdom, then, verse 5, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Hey, listen, young men. Right here's where you get your wisdom. Right here's where you get your understanding and your knowledge. Yes, it's good to read books. I'm not saying that. But right here's where you get your wisdom. He layeth up sound. By the way, not just young men, all of us men. Amen. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good, what's the word? Path. Young man must be trained to step on the path. His steps should be humble. His steps should be holy. And then let me give you this. Even when his steps are hard. Would you take your Bible and go to the New Testament, to the book of 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Even when his steps are hard. His steps should be humble. His steps should be holy. Even when his steps are hard. And let me say this. If you're going to live for Christ, you're going to have some hard steps sometimes. I don't say that to discourage anybody. I don't say that to say that the Christian life isn't the greatest life to live, because it is the greatest life to live. I just say that because the Bible says it. I just say that because the Bible says that if you're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have persecution, it's going to come, but hey, you have the greatest individual to take you through those tribulations and through that persecution. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Timothy in chapter number 2, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son," Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." It's the grace of God that leads us through all of it. Not only is it the grace of God that gives us salvation, it's the grace of God that leads us through the hard steps. Verse number 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." Notice verse 3. "Thou therefore," hey Timothy, Timothy, as you pastor that church in Ephesus, Timothy, as you serve with me on the missionary trail, hey Timothy, "thou therefore endure," what's the word? "Hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Can I tell you this morning, I'm not looking for another captain. I'm not looking for another general. I'm not looking for somebody else to lead me, because I already have someone to lead me. I already have a general. I already have a captain, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes there are going to be hard days, and sometimes there's going to be hardness. Sometimes it's not going to be a bed of roses and a path of roses. Sometimes we're just going to have to get up every day and say, you know what? This is the path I'm going to stay on, even though it may not be easy. I tell you, you're no different than I am. But I am a little with Christians who get their feelings hurt over anything and want to drop out on God. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because every single one of us are going to have some hard days. And every single one of us are just going to have to get up on some days and put the boots on and put the uniform on and put the armor of God, as we'll see in just a moment, and just go out and battle even though our feelings are hurt. So I'm going to tell you, every single one of us get our feelings hurt. Every single one of us have hard days. Every single one of us come home after a hard day and think, man, nobody appreciates anything I do. Let's just pack it up and go to the house. You better not. You better endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." The walk of a biblical knight. A young man must be trained to step on the path. His steps should be humble. His steps should be holy, even when the steps may be hard. Let me give you number 5. The walk of a biblical knight. And 2 Timothy 2 leads us right into number 5. Number 5, we see the warfare of a biblical knight. The warfare of a biblical knight. A young man must be trained to stand in God's power. Would you take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter number 6? Ephesians chapter number 6. And we'll begin reading in verse number 10. By the way, this morning, I don't say anything I just said to belittle people who get their feelings hurt. If you hurt somebody's feelings, you ought to get that right. If there's somebody in here who you have hurt, you need to go to them today and get that right. Amen. You ought to go to them and get that right. But what I am saying is, if we simply look at what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, that ought to give us, for 2 Corinthians 5 says the love of Christ constraineth us. Just looking at the cross ought to give us enough inspiration, enough strength to be able to get up every day and say, you know what, if Christ could go through that, then I can go through this for Him. Doesn't mean you don't have hurt feelings. It doesn't mean that those aren't real, because they are real. Listen, I know. They're very real. But we just endure hardness as a good soldier, and we just stay at it. One step after another, one day after another, we get up and we just keep doing what God has called us to do. The warfare of a biblical night. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The warfare of a biblical night. A young man must be trained to stand, not in his own power, not to fight in his own power, but to stand and to fight in the power of Almighty God. The warfare of a biblical night. Because here's the problem, dear friend. We have too many Christians who've stopped fighting. We have too many Christians that just feel like the wickedness of this world has just blown over us like a tornado, like a tsunami. I'm just tired of pushing back. That's why we must have the power of God. We can't fight in our own power. We can't fight in our flesh. We fight in the power of Almighty God. Remember what we read in Joel chapter number 2? In verse 7 it says, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. The warfare of a biblical night. A young man must be trained to stand in God's power. Let me give you three truths under this point and we'll be done this morning. I want us to see, first of all, the worth. The worth. Why? What makes it worthwhile to get up and to battle and to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ every day? The Lord Jesus Christ. The worth of our warfare, the worth of us battling, what makes it worthy for me to get up every day and to battle, what makes it worthy for me to say, nope, you're not going to do that. Nope, you're not going to watch that. Nope, we're not going to have that in our house. Nope, we're not going to say that in our house. What makes it worthy? The Savior who was sacrificed. In 1 Samuel chapter number 17, when Goliath is coming against David, what does David say? He says, is there not a what? Cause. Why was David so worked up? Exactly. You know why David was so worked up? And he came into that camp, and there are his older brothers who are cowering in fear, just like King Saul is. You know why David was so worked up? Because someone was talking bad about his God. Because Goliath was blaspheming his God. Because Goliath was saying, hey, send me out a champion. Send me someone out to fight with. You're just a bunch of dogs. And David comes into the camp. His brother said, oh, you're just proud. You're just a goody two-shoes. You just want everyone to notice you. And David said, no, is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason to be upset? It's because that uncircumcised Philistine is mocking my God. The worth of us getting up and battling every single day is the Savior who was sacrificed. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our cause. That's why it's worthy. That's the worth of our warfare. Let me ask you, young men, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but if He saved your rotten, wretched, wicked soul, just like He saved mine, isn't He worth fighting for? If He laid down His very life's blood there on that cross, not for a good person, as Romans 5 says, but for a bunch of wicked sinners. Young man, if He did that for you, isn't He worth fighting for? But how many times do we go cower in a corner like Saul and like David's older brothers did, and we yield to the world and we yield to the flesh and we say, well, I like it's a lot easier over here with the world. It's a lot easier over here with the flesh. Nobody knows who I am. And it's a lot easier. I'm never going to have to face Goliath. And David said, good night, fellas. Isn't Jehovah God worth fighting for? Isn't that what He says in the chapter? Isn't that what He tells Goliath? He tells Goliath, I'm going to take your head today, and here's why. So that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So I'm going to take your head today. Not in my power, but in His power. The worth. The Savior who was sacrificed. Let me give you number 2, letter B. The warfare of a biblical night. A young man must be trained to stand in God's power. We have a cause. We have a mission. And that's to do the business. That's to battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. Letter B, we see the warrior. The warrior. Who is that? That's us. That's these young men we're talking about. The warrior. The soldier who is strengthened. The soldier who is strengthened. And by the way, how are we strengthened? We're strengthened in the power of Almighty God. We're strengthened by the Lord. We're strengthened in the power of His might. The soldier who is strengthened. Strengthened by what? Strengthened with what? Strengthened, first of all, with a coat. This isn't in your notes. Strengthened, first of all, with a coat. A coat of armor. That's verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians 6. Strengthen with a coat every day. We've got to get on and strap on the armor of God. The Bible says, for we wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And by the way, I mentioned this to someone recently. It feels like to me that the forces of hell have been unleashed on our nation. And you know what it needs? It needs some biblical knights who are going to fight back against that. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, because of that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Hey, young men, let me ask you this morning. Are you doing everything to stand? And by the way, I'm not just talking about these young boys. I'm just not talking about our teenage guys. I'm talking about all of us men. But I'm talking to you young adults. Maybe you're already married. Maybe you already have kids. Are you doing everything you can to stand against the wiles of the devil? Because he is wily, isn't he? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. I'm just thankful. I do care. But no matter where our nation goes, I still have the truth of God's Word to stand on. Everybody else in our nation can lose their minds. But the Bible tells me that I'm to stand having my loins girt about with truth. By the way, part of that is, if I'm going to do that, then I need to know what the truth is. If I'm going to have my loins girt about with truth, then I better know what this truth says. You know why so many families are busting up and breaking up? It's because there aren't any daddies that know what the truth is. We talk about our young people and we give our teenagers a hard time. Listen, you know who we need to give a hard time? We need to give a hard time to those who are training them. Not the young people. They're just getting what everybody's getting to them. Now, young men, I'm not letting you off the hook that easy. But what I am saying is, listen, how much of this truth do I know? How much of this truth am I able to impart to someone else? Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, the Bible says, and it tells us right there what the sword is, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Listen, we're too preoccupied with everything else today. We're too preoccupied with Facebook. We're too preoccupied with what everybody else in this world is doing. Look, I'm not against anybody keeping in touch with high school friends. And I may get in trouble for saying this, but if somebody hasn't been a part of my life in 25 years, then why do I need to spend so much time looking at what's going on in their life right now? Just saying. We get so sidetracked with things that don't matter. You say those people don't matter? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, if that person hasn't been in my life for 25 years, then listen, why am I wasting so much time? And they're probably never, ever going to be in my life again. And I'm on Facebook for an hour trying to figure out what their kids' names are and what they look like now and if I look better than they do now. Oh, man, he's really aged. The truth is, that's what he's saying about you. Wow. Because we're the last ones to see who we really are, aren't we? We're too preoccupied with things that have no eternal value. And we've stopped fighting. We've stopped battling. And the first place to battle is right in your home. You say, well, I can't go to Washington, D.C., and I'm not a lawmaker, and I can't do that. Okay, fine, I get it. Are you battling in your home? And I'm not talking about are you fighting with your family. That's not what I'm talking about. Are you battling for your family? Are you at the throne of God every day battling for your family against the devil? I've said it before, but someone said this once. He said, the preacher said, it sure would be ashamed if the accuser of the brethren went to God against your children more than you go to God for your children. He did that with Job, didn't he? The accuser of the brethren, he went to God. Does the accuser of the brethren go to God against our children and say, hey, look at that teenage girl. Everybody thinks she's something, but she's really not. And at the same time, is there a daddy and is there a mama on their knees going before God and saying, God, would you help my daughter? God, would you help her to live according to your word? God, would you protect her against sin? Would you protect her against things that she's going to regret for the rest of her life? God, protect her! The warrior, the soldier who is strengthened, he's strengthened with a code. He's strengthened with counsel. And I'm not going to spend much time here on these. He's strengthened with counsel. We know the Bible says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. By the way, in the multitude of good counselors, there is safety. Strengthened with a coat, strengthened with counsel, strengthened with courage. Courage is simply faith in the face of fear. Faith in the face of fear. Psalm 56, verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I'll do what? I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Courage is just simply faith in the face of fear. Strengthened with a coach, strengthened with counsel, strengthened with courage, and strengthened by the captain who is our captain. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Joshua chapter 5, Joshua saw the Lord Jesus Christ. We would call that a Christophany. Saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is He called there in Joshua 5? He's called our captain. He's called our captain. And listen, young man, if you're going to live and battle and war and fight for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to allow the captain to strengthen you on a daily basis. You're going to have to come to His Word and get strengthened. The worth, the Savior who is sacrificed, the warrior, the soldier who is strengthened, and then finally the weapon, the sword that is sharpened. Would you take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy 2? We're going to go here and then one other passage and we'll be done this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The weapon, the sword that is sharpened. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. What is the weapon that these young men need to carry in their hands on a daily basis? They're holding it in their lap right now this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is their weapon? The Bible says our weapons are not carnal. They're not carnal. I have a hard time saying that. They're not carnal. They're spiritual. Our weapon is the Word of God. These young men's weapon is going to be the Word of God when they go out on a daily basis and battle against the devil. By the way, young men, that's why it's so important that you read this every day. Hey, men, that's why it's so important that we read this every day. If we don't, we go out unarmed, unprepared. The worth, the Savior who was sacrificed, the warrior, the soldier who is strengthened, the weapon, the sword that is sharpened. Take your Bibles and go to the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 22. I mentioned this just a moment ago, and we'll end right here this morning. The training of a biblical knight. The will, young man, must be trained to submit to the preeminent. The work, must be trained to sweat for his provision. The words, he must be trained to speak with purity. The walk, he must be trained to step on the path. And then the warfare, he must be trained to stand in God's power. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. You know the verse. The Bible says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found, what's the word there? None. But I found none. We don't want that to be the case in our day. We don't want that to be the case in the lives of our family. Hey, young men, can I say this? We're counting on y'all. Young men, we're counting on y'all to meet the enemy at the gate. We're counting on y'all that 30, 40 years down the road, that this church hasn't turned into some hippie cult. We're counting on y'all to stay with the Word of God. Let me ask you, young men, are you sharpening your sword every day? Is your sword ready to use on a daily basis? Josh is getting ready for Vacation Bible School, and he's been watching YouTube videos on how to make balloon animals. And he gave some of the boys yesterday a balloon sword. Levi came back in and he said, Josh, you need to make me another sword. This one's not scaring anybody. Does your sword scare anybody? Is it sharp? By the way, the Word of God is sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says in Hebrews 4. But soldier, are you sharp? Are you strengthened? Do you have a cause? Yeah, my cause is to play Xbox every day. That's a terrible cause. I'm not saying it's wrong to play those games. I'm just saying it's not a good cause. Because when you die one day and go to heaven, God isn't going to care anything about how much you played Xbox. But He is going to care about how you live the Christian life. He is going to care about, young man, when you get married one day, how you led your family. Young man, He is going to care one day how you trained your children. He is going to care one day how you cared for other people and whether you gave the gospel or not. Training biblical nights. God help us to do so. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of it. Father, thank You for the firm foundation that it is. Thank You for the firm ground upon which we have to stand. And Father, I pray that for our young men this morning. I pray that for all of us as men and women this morning. I just pray that our wills would be right, our work would be right, our words would be right. Lord, I pray that our walk would be right. And Father, I pray that we would be prepared for warfare every day, because the devil doesn't take a day off. We've got to be ready. God help us. I don't know hearts this morning, but if there are young men who need to commit some things to You today, Father, I pray that they would. Father, if there's someone here today who needs to be saved, never come and had their sins plunged beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Father, help us, and we'll thank You for what You'll do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, heads bowed and eyes closed. Two questions. We'll stand. We'll go to invitation. How many of you this morning, you say, Pastor, I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I know without a doubt that I'm saved. Would you raise your hands real high? Men, women, boys, and girls all around the room. Pastor, I know that I'm saved, no doubt about it. All right, put your hands down. Those of you who just raised your hands, you say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. But Pastor, there's some things I need to shore up in my life, whether it be your words, your walk, your warfare, doesn't matter. Men, women, man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, you say, Pastor, there's some things I need to shore up in my Christian life, and I want you to pray for me. How many of you with a raised hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me this morning? Maybe it would be a dad that would say, you know, I need to be training my Bible. I need to be training that little knight that I have in my home better than I am right now. Thank you for those hands so much. Anybody else with a raised hand? Thank you, thank you. Thank you. You can put them down. Let me ask one last question. How many of you will say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved today. If death were to take me today, I'm not sure if I would go to heaven or hell. Pastor, pray for me this morning. How many of you with a raised hand, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved this morning. Anybody at all? Anybody at all with a raised hand? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If death were to take me, might be heaven, might be hell. I'm not sure. Anybody at all? I want to pray for you this morning. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Dear friend, if you need to come, come. Believers, young men, if you need to come, come. Maybe you just kneel where you're at there in your pew, but maybe you'd take that step and you'd walk down and you'd come to this front pew or this platform and you'd just kneel and pray and say, Lord, help me, whatever the area may be. Miss Jo's playing. If you need to come, come this morning. Hey, young man, have you ever made the decision in your life? Have you ever just said to the Lord, Lord, I'm surrendered to whatever You have me, whatever You would call me to do. I'm not saying you're surrendered to the ministry. That's not what I'm saying. But you say, Pastor, whatever God would call me to do, I'm just surrendered to Him this morning. Are you? If you're not, would you do that this morning? Young men, has there ever been a time in your life when you just committed to the Lord that you wanted to be the best husband you could be, the best father, the best Christian, the best United States citizen, the best employee, because you're a Christian? And because you want to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called? Hey, men, what about us this morning? Those of us who have a little age on us, are we meeting the enemy in the gate? Are we meeting the enemy at the gate? Saying, hey, 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 you're not coming in here. My sword's ready. You can sure try it, but I'm ready. Because I'm standing in the power of my God. And I'm standing wielding His sword. You're not coming in here. No one raised their hand about the matter of salvation. But dear friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you're not sure if you've ever called out to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, had your sins washed beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not sure about that, don't hesitate. Don't go out another time with doubt and fear in your mind. The Bible says that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. If you have fear this morning, God's not giving you that fear. Other than that, He wants you to fear the fact that you might go to hell. The devil's giving you that. He's telling you you're going to be embarrassed if you step out. They're going to make fun of you if you step out. And that's a lie. That's the lie, a lie that the devil peddles. You know what that song says? It says, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget His agony. Well, that ought to drive us on a daily basis because He is worthy. Hey, thank you so much for your attendance and your attention today. I would ask you, y'all pray for me this afternoon. I feel great, but my voice is... Brother Jeff, you might want to be ready. Amen. Brother Jackie, you might want to be ready for tonight. Y'all pray for my voice this afternoon that the Lord will strengthen it in a wonderful way. Let's pray and be dismissed and look forward to seeing you back tonight. Brother Eric Tucker, would you dismiss us, please, sir?